All right, well, welcome to Black Ed Talk with KG
and AC.
So Black Ed Talk is where we talk everything education centered around Black students from Black educators and Black perspectives. So welcome and thank you for listening and tuning in to episode one. I am KG. I am currently a special education teacher, IEP coordinator now, but teacher by trade. I've had 10 years in education, in higher ed, middle school, and high school. I've taught probably every subject in SPED, namely dealing with students who have emotional behavior disorders is my specialty. And so I just appreciate you all coming out. I'm just here to offer my perspective and my experiences being in the classroom and even now out of the classroom. AC?
I'm AC. I am a second career educator. I've been in education for now 3 years, predominantly in urban education. I have taught high school level only. Currently considering higher ed, not quite sure yet. From the perspective of a business education teacher, I get to see a little bit of the inside and the outside of special ed and gen ed, and have been able to form a lot of opinions about the way things look and probably should look according to the quote teacher education standardized rules. So welcome, thank you, we appreciate you, enjoy the ride.
Right. All right, so how this is gonna go, since this is episode one, give you an intro and just how this is going to look from now on. We have a bless up, which is going to be our affirmation that we give before each episode. We see you is where we do a spotlight on a African-American student, a Black student. It could be in the community. Moving forward, we'll give you a chance to make some nominations or send in some submissions so that we can honor our kids. And we'll have crown adjustment where we shout out a Black educator. You'll also have opportunities for submissions for those as well. So you can submit yourself, someone else. Then our Ed Talk and our wrap up. All right, so bless up. I am worthy. The color of my skin is not definitive of where I belong in this world, and no one will be allowed to disregard my presence or silence my voice based on the color of my flesh. All right, who we see this week, AC?
This week, we see you, Janae Steerborn. You are the first Black female nanoscientist in Virginia. You are the first to complete the program at Virginia Tech specifically. Congratulations, congratulations,
we
congratulations.
See you, sis.
We see you. We are excited to see where this goes. We know you'll be back in the headlines soon. Enjoy your year off to learn more about nanoscience. We appreciate you. Thank you, thank you,
super
thank
dope.
You for showing our girls and our boys that is possible. Hats off to you. Keep going.
For sure, for sure. Crown adjustment.
This week for our crown adjustment, we're going to take a moment to acknowledge all of our Black women educators. We go in every day and we make it happen no matter what our circumstances look like in our district, no matter what our circumstances are at home. We go into these buildings every single day and we make something, sometimes out of nothing, and we still manage to come back the next day despite all of the extra emotion we carry through the year. This summer, I hope that you took the time to give yourself some self-care.
Yes, 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 please.
And listen, even if you didn't take full advantage of your summer off, when school starts back up in the next couple of weeks, or if school has already started, you need to take some time to take care of you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the burnout is going to come sooner than you want.
Real talk. And you deserve it, right?
Yeah,
and
mostly you deserve
you
it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. Get you some self-care, sis. If you're still on summer break, do it. If you're already back in school, like I know some of my DC teachers are, if you're 12 months, or if you're working at some of the charter. Yeah. Oh, did they? Oh, well, I know. Yeah, some year-round back in North Carolina. Right, year-round teachers in North Carolina. I don't know what other districts might have year-round schools, but if you're already back in session, hats off to your short summer.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're touching the green with you to get to start off right.
Self-care. Get that mani, get that pedi. It's okay.
Yeah, really. Or read a book or whatever it is that brings you that inner peace. You know,
get it, take
do
care
it, keep it, hold on to it, remember it.
By all means, protect your peace.
Protect your peace. Yes. Amen. Just be. Right. All right. So this week's Ed Talk is going to be a piece of a hot topic, right? We're going to look into school choice. So point of clarification, I just need to note this is not, you know, exhaustive research. This, you know, we are here to just kind of touch on these subjects, bring about some awareness, some education, some introducing, and spark some dialogue about some overarching themes in education and what they may look like for our kids. Our, as in Black kids specifically, because this is Black Ed Talk.
It is Black Ed Talk. So
it is.
What is school choice?
Right. So school choice really is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Right. It's just, you know, being able to choose the education you want for your kid.
Right.
That's really like in its barest form. That really is just what it sounds like. It's being able to, you know, parents or families having the freedom to choose their child's education.
Are there different types of school choice?
Yes, there are different types of school choice. So, you know, we're namely going to talk mainly about just traditional public and charter. But you have, you know, the traditional public, right, are the schools that are run by the state, your school districts. You know, if you're in D.C., it's DCPS. If you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, that's Wake County. If you're in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, that's CMS. I mean, you know, so that's your traditional public school. It might be your neighborhood school, your zone school, the school that, you know, you're assigned to, that you have offered to you. You have your charter schools, which are, you know, public choice schools. So okay. That's what a charter is. It's a public school, so you get state funded as well, but it also has some private or grant or
some other monies.
Okay. But it's a choice. So it's a public choice option. Charter schools are public schools, but it's a public choice option.
Okay.
Then you have vouchers. Voucher is a form of school choice. We're not going to get too heavy into vouchers today because that's just not typically what our kids options
okay.
are.
Okay.
But you have school vouchers, and vouchers are basically where the state will give parents a portion of the money, you know, that they would get from funding them, you know, they would get to fund them, and they will be able to use that to the parents will be able to use that money towards private school or religious school.
Oh.
And we're going to leave that there.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You also have.
I have questions. I'll hold them for next time.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Then you also have homeschooling. It's a form of choice. It's a form.
It is a form.
And that works a lot of different ways. There's really no blanket way to really describe homeschool because every
homeschool is different.
Every homeschool, every area is different. Yeah, and how that works. But the most common way that homeschool looks is, you know, there are like programs that, you know, are offered to families, like they buy into this curriculum or and buy in, not necessarily money wise, because I believe that some of it's like tuition free. They have like K-12, like tuition free. But of course, that comes at like, you know, parents being able to stay home. I mean, you know, that a lot of factors come into, but that is a form of choice, homeschool. And then you have virtual schools also is a form of school choice, where you have like online.
Technically, it's also a form of homeschool.
It is. It is. Well, you know, there, and not to get totally off topic because we're going to come back on to the school choice, but there's actually a school, there are a few schools, Wake County, North Carolina opened up one a year or so ago, maybe. That's kind of like a flex school, where school where some kids, I think they have to like apply or get in or whatever, but they are kind of like on a flex schedule. So they don't go to school for a whole day. They like maybe go a half a day and maybe do half a day of virtual school or, you know, or something like
that. So
they have like a flex school. So, and I'm seeing that kind of come pop up in different areas, but so that's a form of choice as well. Today we'll probably, we're just going to really hit on just traditional public and charter, because those are the two most common options that our kids have when it comes to choice.
So, are public charter schools more popular than just traditional public schools, or magnet schools in a traditional setting?
So, charter schools are quite popular, and there's a, you know, there in the research that I've done, the three main reasons of why they're so popular is one. The quality of education. It was listed as the top reason of why charter schools are so popular, saying that their existence, they're here to make sure that every child has access to a quality education. It's something that I'm gonna leave that there, and then I'll come back. So the quality of education is said to be a really big reason why they're popular. Another reason that charter schools have become really popular, the second most common reason is that they focus on kids. And so the Center for Education Reform stated that they're set up around the needs of children, not around the needs of adults.
Ooh.
Right? And so that is reason number two why charter schools are so important. So the quality of education, a focus on kids, and safer, stronger communities. So charter schools have shown to be much more effective in building community when it comes to that engagement piece.
Absolutely.
And like really using and building resources in community. So that, you know, parents feel, you know, really empowered in the process of that choice. And so those are the main reasons why charter schools have become so popular, because they've been able to seemingly offer things that traditional public can't or doesn't or won't.
He's so weird. Now, when we're looking at public charter schools, when parents make these choices to choose a charter school, are there pros or cons to the school choice itself?
There are absolutely pros and cons. You know,
you said
why you can't? Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, there are pros and cons of charter schools, or not even charter schools, but the choice process. Let's do that, because it's really not about the school, you know, per se, is it? And we're really just talking about the choice that you have.
The choice itself, okay.
Right, and so those who don't know,
is there a goal to school choice?
So the goal of school choice was really to, you know, I mean, well, yeah, the goal of school choice is really to give families, you know, the power and opportunity to choose where their child goes to school, and to give them something that the traditional public schools just aren't giving them, serving them. Whether that's, you know, because we know that as a whole, the public education, you know, system you know, are not performing very well. It's not performing very well.
Right, correct.
And so we have so many underperforming, you know, schools. And so these charter schools and this school choice vouchers and everything else, you know, start now. Charter schools, you know, came about some 25 years ago, really.
Right.
And vouchers have been more like 15, really okay. steady in certain areas. And so in very concentrated areas. But it came about to offer something that, you know, say, okay, well, it gives you an opportunity to say, well, if your neighborhood school is not performing, come over here to us so we can give a different curriculum, a more rigorous okay. schedule, you know, more project-based learning or more, you know what I mean? More this, more that, more freedom. We can pay teachers more. We can do, you know, we can right, do okay. all these incentives. So it's like, you know, well, since that neighborhood school, you know, isn't giving you what you need, come on over
come
here.
Come on at us.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's free. Uh-huh. You don't, uh-huh. you know, oh, you don't. Yeah. yeah, I mean, because it's public.
Cause
it's before, a public school.
Because before charter schools, the quote choice was public school or can you afford to pay
for private school. School. Correct.
And if you can't afford to pay for private school, is your kid smart enough to get into private school for free? Or are they a good enough athlete to get in private school for free?
Or do they have some type of
gift.
Program that they can get a scholarship or a subsidy or, right. And so, right. And so then, you know, some years ago, of course, in that
charter came with this thing. Okay.
And then, uh-huh. yeah, and then vouchers. So, so you know, I'm in the DMV area.
Okay.
And so just to put that kind of in perspective, so for some of my DMV listeners that are, you know, right here, because this is where I teach, you know, this is right. the community that I'm in. And even, well, let's go back. So looking at charter schools as a whole, you know, some things that probably people already know is that charter schools do, our students are more likely to be from low-income households compared
right, okay.
to all public school students. Charter school students also are more likely to be African-American or Hispanic
right.
mm-hmm. Than traditional public school students. And, you know, we have to consider, too, that the majority of public of charter schools are in urban areas and are
right.
in big urban cities.
Several reasons, I think.
Yeah, for sure, for several reasons. And so those numbers aren't alarming, right? Like, we
right.
knew that. Those, that's not, like, gasp.
Speaking to the racial imbalance of charter schools and doing the research for today's episode, I came across an article that kind of spoke to, like, the reality of public schools and our public education in general. The education system, specifically public education system in the United States, is probably the largest indication of America's greatest sin. And we all know America's greatest sin was slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we start to look at, like, the balance of the races in charter schools or even the economic makeup mm-hmm. at a charter school, we literally are either looking at a de facto segregated school or a de facto poor school. It's very rare, well, and or mm-hmm. a de facto poor school. It's very rare that a charter school is not primarily comprised of poor and or Black and Hispanic students. And a part of that, I think, speaks to the process of choice in this country in general, and also might further speak to how parents are choosing the schools that they're sending their students to. The article suggested mostly that parents choose first based on race, and secondly, based on school performance, when all the information of the racial demographic of the school performance, and any other mm-hmm. information that's available to them during their choice process is presented. So it's interesting that you mentioned that correlation.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you would agree and understand that is for sure a direct, you know, result of our climate, you know what
yeah.
I mean? you know, people at the end of the day, you know, parents want their child to be and feel for themselves safe.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
And so that safety may come in, you know, oh, well, that's this particular neighborhood, or this is this demographic of students.
Right. Uh-huh.
Let me do that because at least I know that they'll be surrounded by this. And so, right. And you know, oh, well, they'll have more black kids, or they'll, you know, they'll, then I feel good about that. Or I feel good about, oh, they got how many black teachers? Oh, let me do that.
Right.
Not, you know, caring or thinking about the performance, you know, of the school, which we also know can be
right.
sketchy, and looking at school performance, you know, especially, you know, by grade and all that, that can get really, really foggy, ugly, and inaccurate.
Right. When correct.
You know, looking at it at face value, like, oh, they have a B plus. I'm gonna, and it's like, you might want to look a little further, sis.
School might have a B plus, but how many teachers look like your kid?
Yeah, or yeah, right.
Or how many students look like your kid?
The curriculum like? What are they doing? Like, what are they offering? You know, your student. What do their services look like? Do they service? Does your child have an IEP? Can they service them that way? I mean, it's so many things that you have to look at, but. We also have to, you know, understand, too, that everyone doesn't always have that choice, right? Because when you talk about school choice, we're looking at traditional public and charter, because those are our two most common, you know, options. You know, yes, there are magnet programs also, you know, around. And even in D.C., I was reading, because D.C. has... California actually has the highest number of students enrolled in a charter school.
Oh.
California's huge.
Well, I mean...
right.
Yeah, right. Let's not... I'm not thinking about it on a size of the state, but a per capita is what I went to.
No, right. And so D.C., of course, has the highest percentage of students. So the percentage of students in California attending a charter school is like 8.7.
The percentage... The actual number is... Wow, like, crazy guy. Yeah, okay.
000. Right. And so,
Right.
And so, you know, in D.C., you're looking at 42%, almost 43% of students here are in a charter school.
Well, and conversely, where I live in central Pennsylvania, there are two charter schools, and they service elementary school.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Elementary to middle school, and that's it.
That's it.
And that's it. and let's just be clear, those two charter schools are in the, quote, urban, end quote, district. Where I'm from in central Pennsylvania, well, in Harrisburg specifically, we are zoned by zip code to the letter of... The smaller neighborhood of the metropolitans, the smaller neighborhoods in the metropolitan become the suburban districts, and the heart of the city is now the city school district, which is a common trend in the state of Pennsylvania, it seems. But so the county I'm from has maybe 10 to 12 school districts. The city that I'm from has 3 districts in it. And I work in the largest district.
That's just really crazy.
So, yeah. When we start to look at choice, we're not really looking at very much of a choice directly converse to literally what you are experiencing. Almost like you could almost never, in Harrisburg, could never be a teacher in a charter school and still experience some of the same stuff that you would experience at your charter school here in D.C., I think.
Mm, okay. Oh, that's interesting. That's, I mean, not, I'm not, and I'm not going to get totally caught up on that, but I'm just, like, tripping out how you have 3 school districts in your one city. That is blowing my mind a little bit, and we got to talk about that offline. But I was also looking, though, because D.C. does happen to offer, you know, including in choice, they do happen to offer magnet programs here. And looking at... looking at the data there from the National Center for Education Statistics, it showed how the actual DC district schools and magnet programs outperformed the charter.
Outperform them based on which?
It just gave a basic. You know, if the scale wasn't as specific of, like, what levels, it just showed that it went kind of a percentage and by grade.
Okay.
And that they, you know, just outperformed them academically.
Wow.
And a lot of times, and you'll see, especially when you go to a lot of like pro, like Ed Choice is like a pro choice, pro school choice site.
Okay.
Or resource rather. And so when you go to like kind of already biased resources, mm-hmm. you know, they'll tell you, you know, what's in their
whatever
favor.
It is you're looking
yeah,
for,
like
right? uh-huh.
So, you know, you may see like some, especially like pro-choice things. And I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong
correct.
Across the board, but you know, you'll see like alarming numbers of charter schools outperforming, you know,
right.
traditional schools. And in some areas they do, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But that's just not necessarily always the case, you know? Yeah, it's not always the case. It is the case in some areas, but, you know, not all and not necessarily most.
So are there pros and cons, though?
Pros and cons. So, yeah. So we have so some pros that I kind of came up with, like, a list of some pros and cons. And then I guess we'll kind of see, like, what this means for, like, our babies, right?
Okay.
So some pros, right, is that oftentimes we know that especially as a special education teacher, and this isn't specific to SPED, but especially as a SPED teacher, you know, a big part of my job that I make my job is advocacy, and empowerment. And so we know that even in our system, a lot of times Black parents don't feel empowered. And
right.
so a pro for school choice is that they have that power to choose to say, oh, well, I don't want my kid to go to, you know what I'm saying, the school around the corner because
right.
they're not doing X, Y, and Z. I want them to go to the school uptown, or I want them to go to the school downtown, or I want them to go, you know, to the school over here. Or if you happen to have a school that's, you know, around the corner, great. But they get to choose, you know, so they have that power, and it makes them feel, you know, really empowered to be able to make that choice. And piggybacking off of that, it gives those a lot of poor and middle-class families an opportunity to escape poor performing neighborhood schools.
Right, okay.
You know, because now they can choose. They can say, oh, you know, well, and depending on the choice process, right, like they can say, well, they can, you know, every district does it differently. So
right,
you
okay.
have some, you know, some give out, like I can honestly say, you know, just in being in D.C., I've seen where they have like the Ed Fest and they have different opportunities, I'll say, for you to be pretty well versed in what your options are.
Okay.
But you know, when it comes time for the lottery, like it'll be kind of difficult to say you don't really know. You know what I mean? Like,
so
what
living
your options
here,
are.
Not knowing your options is ridiculous.
Basically. I wouldn't say ridiculous because I mean, it's probably a possibility. But I'm just saying there are opportunities. I mean, of course, that is, you know, contingent upon the access that you have to that opportunity, you know.
Right, right, right.
But
right.
what I mean, I'm just saying
well,
for
like
someone.
Well, like anywhere, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, for like, for example, I have a car. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I do have, and to be clear, I mean, D.C. is definitely metro run, so I'm not saying that to say like, well, you don't need it, because somebody right now is saying, it's D.C., you don't even need a car. Why should you say that?
Somebody did say that.
Somebody,
they did.
I know somebody said it, and it's okay. And I get it, right? But we don't take for granted still. I mean,
that
you know what I mean? That
transportation
is a legitimate thing.
The
no, but it is. And it,
right.
and it definitely is a thing when it comes to school choice, you know, and because the data also showed that, you know, black and poor kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes have longer commutes when it comes to school choice.
Right. Okay.
Because one, even if a 5-minute drive to a school would be 15 or 20 minutes on the train or a metro bus.
And 32 an hour on
or
foot.
Listen, so
Jesus.
That's a very, so I brought that up to say that's still a very, it can be a,
right.
a legitimate barrier for
right.
some. Because people say, oh, we got a train. They can just get on the bus. They can do that. You know, they can walk
but
up the street to the park.
What if they can't afford to?
Well, and so listen, you know, I say that to say, though, that I have experienced with the access that I have, you
right.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'm nobody special, you know, in that regard, like
right.
I'm not, you know, sitting on it, but there are opportunities for you to be able to be well-versed in what your choices are, you know, as far as like the choice that you have in entering the lottery process. Another pro that I think that exists within school choice is the diversity in staff and representation. And I don't want to get too much into that because we're going to have a whole, you know, a whole nother episode on representation and what that looks like down the line. But there is, there's more freedom in staffing, you know, when it comes to choice, and especially with charter, because they, you know, yes, receive state money, but they're not, you know, they have a contract with the state when it comes to, you know, and really their contract is really based more on enrollment than it is anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, so their contract is money what they have with the state is really based on enrollment, like, and things of that nature. They have more freedom in, like, their staffing. You don't always have to be certified. And I know somebody also is like, you know, no certified teachers. And I'm not saying good, bad, or I'm, but the caveat to that, though, is
second career teachers are the business, first and foremost.
Oh, okay. I mean, did you take it personal?
I did. That hit me right in the nose.
You okay?
I mean, no, not yet. Give me a couple minutes and I'll be all right.
Girl, I got your feelings.
Because why would she be looking down her nose at me? Because
not looking down, no. Well, I mean, when you think about it, right? Because you do have people.
I'm not going front. If I was a, prior to becoming a second career teacher and understanding the process that is having real world career experience in an industry that can be applied to the classroom directly to the content that I'm teaching. If I came into education as a parent and was like, wait, my kid's teacher isn't certified. Hold up. Like, I know that, like, I would kind of trip about it as a parent.
I can honestly say, well, I think, I don't know. I think my perspective on that is probably a little different because I deal with some very different things as a as a parent. I would side eye that because, you know, my child has an IEP, you know, is an IEP, and, you know, in some of her classes is served in self-contained settings. So I'm like, what you mean you're not said? I need you to have some certification.
Right, right. You got to know how to do something.
I need you to understand disability. But there are some, but when I think of, you know, something like, you know, journalism or business or, you know, technology. Photography or technology. My mind doesn't necessarily go there like, oh, they got to be certified. I mean, because like now we're talking about like skills and trades and really like life-based knowledge that can really be helpful, like having that career knowledge first. And so, and I was saying that to say that with a lot of times with charter schools, that's something that they're in my reading. There's something that they, because I can't speak for all charter schools, in my research, that's something that they're intentional about is when they seek out teachers, you know, yes, being certified is a plus, and for some charter schools, it is a requirement. So I'm not, let's be clear, I'm not saying that all charter schools don't have, you know, you're not certified or your I'm not saying that, but I am saying that it has been more intentional for charter schools to seek out teachers who have had that career or life experience in that particular area, you know, especially like in business or something, in that particular area, or finance, or, you know, because now a lot of schools are offering like career academies and things like that, you know. So they're more intentional about that, you know, finding someone who's been in that life space and then teaching it, you know. And I've also seen, and to be clear too, and I don't want to get totally off topic, but because that teacher certification is a thing. But to be clear, you know, I promise you, there's probably somebody in your public school too that is a career change teacher, and they're on like an initial license or a lateral entry license or a pre-teacher, like, you know, whatever they call it in your district, whatever your state calls it, who doesn't have a certification just yet because, you know, they have. So, and piggybacking off of that, and then we'll go to some cons. Just overall free liberties that, you know, charter schools have that the traditional publics, you know, don't offer, which we've kind of already covered. And so, some cons that we saw, and you kind of mentioned it earlier. And this is I'll call it a con. It's de facto segregated schools. Mm-hmm. So we have schools that aren't legally segregated, right? Like, it's not like, you know, not quite Jim Crow-ish where you it's a legal thing where, you know, you can't go here. You can't, you know, you're black, you gotta go. It's not like that. It's just by happenstance.
Right,
you know,
okay.
By circumstance that you're in these spaces. Again, and we talked about how charter schools are put up typically in big urban cities, right, and communities. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, not...
Naturally. It should...
It's no gasp that,
right,
you know, these schools in Southeast D.C. is going to be 99% black.
Right. The shock isn't that they're black. The shock isn't that they're 99% black in Southeast D.C. The shock is the white people don't want to send their kids to the charter school.
Child.
Even though they're the primary supporter of the choice system and setup.
But that's not the choice they want, though. But that's the whole, you know, that's...
All right, another day.
Yeah, that's not the choice they want.
Okay,
they want the choice in the voucher,
right,
where
well,
they can get the money and go to private school.
Bye, man.
Or go to the...
Bye.
Yeah. Or go to the... I mean, but that's honest. Or go to religious school, because of that separation.
Right.
You know, Supreme Court... couple years ago in some of those states that were heavy with that voucher, you know, shut that down, like, you know, with that separation of church and state. So that's, you know, that's when that's why you have these vouchers, these states who have adopted that voucher program to say, okay, we'll give you this money so you can choose. That's the choice. You can choose to take this money that we give you, whatever it is, some type of cap out of whatever the amount they give you. You can choose to take this money, and with that, you can... If you can afford private school, take your kid to private school with this money, or to a religious institution, you know. But we're, you know, it's just not going to be a public, you know. That's your choice to take this money, a portion of the funding that we will get for you anyway, and you can go to private or religious school.
Friend, yeah, all right,
right,
yeah.
So, and we talked about the commute time, oftentimes being longer.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Controlled demographics a little bit with charter. So, you know, with traditional public, that, you know, they have to accept
whoever
you.
Lives in the district is
they're not turning, they can't turn you away. Charter schools kind of sort of can, you know, I mean, if they won't turn you away up front, you know, they'll find a way to like kind of counsel you out.
Oh,
you know,
those air quotes. Did a thing with my spirit. I'm gonna wait on it. You're gonna tell me what counseling me out means. I'll wait for it.
Well, so like when you have students, so a lot of times charter and I've worked in several where they just aren't, unless it's a level 5 school, they just aren't well equipped to deal with. And I don't even like using deal with, that don't even sit right with me, but they aren't equipped to appropriately service students with disabilities, students who may present with some challenging behaviors, you know, students who just make them uncomfortable. A lot of times, I mean, they'll like send them to social, you know, to the social worker, and they'll get counseling, and they'll say they tried this or that or the third, and then after a while, it's like, you know what?
We've tried all these
too much.
And too much work. You got to go back.
Sometimes it's work, and sometimes it's like, you ain't tried nothing. You just didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
You know, it was just, and a part of that you don't want to deal with is just that I really think it just goes back to just being just ill-equipped.
Right.
You know, and that is difficult. That's where it becomes dangerous when you have the non-certified teachers teaching kids who they really, really need to be skilled in that content.
Mm.
You just need to. You shouldn't be taking care of somebody's child with an emotional disability, and you don't know anything about emotional disabilities or learning disabilities or behavior management, or you don't have a good rapport with students. That's totally not to the student's benefit. That's
right.
Just to make you comfortable. So that is a con. And I think the biggest con, in my opinion, is that no matter the choice, I think you know, some of these systemic issues that we have in the public education system don't just go away because you're in a charter school.
Baby, they might not go away ever.
They don't go away just because you popped up.
Was that my article? Was that you and I talking about it when we talked about how with the expansion of school choice as a means of overcoming the issues with underperformance in traditional public schools, we see that there has been an increase in spending, but no real change in outcome.
Yes,
was me and you talking about that?
Yeah, we did. So, which is actually a really good point because we talked about how we think a lot of people are so kind of like unlearned to this process. Mm-hmm. And until I had to like sit down and like read and look and take some closer looks into it. I had my own ideas about school choice and what I thought or, you know, didn't think.
Yeah, me too. I even remember thinking about like school for my kids, having a conversation that public school was my only option. Mm-hmm. Because I know and understand that private doesn't necessarily mean better. I also know and understand now a little bit more that even public charter doesn't mean better.
And it can.
It can, yes. But it doesn't always necessarily
it's not automatic.
Mean that it is better. I'm beginning to wonder, though, if the system itself has to be flipped and turned upside down in order to catch.
I absolutely think it needs to be gutted. I mean, you know, and we'll get to that point because it's, you know, probably time for us to start wrapping up anyway. But, you know, to my last point of, you know, those systemic issues don't go away, right? Like, you know, we can, because that is like the number one question, like why, and I, you know, had this question as well, you know, before researching and reading, and I, yeah, and so, and the question is like, well, why can't you just take the money that you're giving these charter schools and do better with the public schools you already have?
Right,
you know,
right,
why
right.
can't you take the resources that you're giving to charter schools and do better with the public schools you already have? You know, why can't you, you know, if you're going to give, why allow them to have the freedom of staffing, you know, or
what they need, how
yeah,
they need.
Or giving them pretty much, you know, kind of free range. You're like, oh, yeah, teach this your way, run this your way.
You got
and
this.
You can't get, and, you know, and you have failing schools across the board that you're not even trying to address.
So are you suggesting that they need to shake the tree? Shake the tree, get all the dead leaves out?
Yeah, so cuz you're not going to change anything. Schools are still failing.
Right.
They're still underperforming. Students are still not reading at grade level by the time they're in the third grade, you know, or even or eighth grade, and then, you know, we know that if they're not reading by third grade, then, you know, they're going to struggle for the rest of their lives.
Too, yeah.
And if by the time the eighth grade you still haven't gotten intensive reading and they're still not, you know, reading proficient by then it's going to continue to struggle with that because it's only getting harder from there. The more difficult reading gets, you know, decoding and, you know, phonetic and phonemic awareness. I mean, all of those things, the fluency.
All right, now I just said I'm a second career teacher, so you're gonna just give me all these teacher words on the first day?
You gonna get on my nerves?
Can you write it down for me so I can look it up?
I will not.
All right.
I want you to get off my damn nerves. You know, yeah, until we're able to fix the racist system, until we're able to fix zero tolerance and push out, until we're able to fix, you know, how we approach special education,
Come
you know,
on.
Students who receive services, until we can fix, you know, implicit and explicit biases in our teachers. Because, and let's be clear, it's a systemic issue. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just talking about white teachers. I'm talking about black teachers who also buy into the nonsense of black students, you know, not performing.
System,
right.
Let's just be clear.
Right. So, I mean, it's a systemic issue. Right. This mm-hmm. is something that we all contribute to and participate in our
regularly.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, so I want to be clear. You know what I mean? Black students are my priority.
Come on.
And the goal, you know, I mean, but we are not, at, you know, we're not, you know, absolved from that. You know,
right.
We absolutely, you know, some black educators do, but it's a systemic. We participate, you know,
right.
We are complicit in that. So, yeah, I do. I think until we can start fixing those things and our superintendents and the people who write these policies who ain't spent not one day in a classroom.
Come on.
Until we can do that, popping up, you know, school choice isn't going to I can't see how school choice, you know, in itself is going to just change this, because we've seen, in all honesty, it hasn't so far.
Right.
It hasn't.
So, for me, right, school choice wasn't supposed to be a thing. School choice was not supposed to be a thing. I was pregnant when myself and my children's father decided that public school was their only option as far as education is concerned. And I'm a product of public schools, and that's why I was so adamant that my children should be able to go through the same educational process that I did and come out and shine in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came down to registering for kindergarten, and the district that I live in wasn't sure what kind of kindergarten we would have, now choice becomes a thing for me.
Mm.
And so my choice was go to the district where you don't know what's going to, register them in the district where you don't know what's going to happen as far as the day for kindergarten. And it was May 2018, and they're supposed to start school in August 2018, and
wow,
there's still no decision made.
That's crazy.
And my options literally were these two potential charter schools in my district, or, well, zoned to the district that I live in, or going to the district, going to the elementary school in the district based on my address.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention in that same, you know, there were some other major red flags that added to me saying, hold on, this uncertainty about kindergarten and these other things are like, wait a minute, let's look at choice. But I was one of those parents who got stuck with the lesser of two evils in coming out with my choice. And I honestly don't know, because again, they're only going into kindergarten. So I'm starting in, you know, starting at the charter and having the option of making this choice for myself. I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know that, you know, my kids are going to benefit either way, whether it's going to, well, if it's going to benefit or hurt. The only thing I do know is they'll be in kindergarten all day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know right now today.
Right.
And I'm worried.
Mm.
Because I also know that, and I work in the district that I live in, obviously,
mm,
because that's who I am. I'm worried that the behaviors that are happening within the district that I live in are going to still happen in the school that my daughters go to, because the makeup of students is the same group of students that make up the students in my district. So it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. But yes, this tree, when we shake it.
Yeah. I mean, because the students aren't the issue. The adults
are. No, we know that the adults,
you know,
have been the issue. Girl.
Yeah. And so where do we go from here? You know, I don't have the answer to that.
You know?
Don't. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't. I mean,
You're not going to rub the magic ball and come up with the answer. Where's the eight ball?
Girl, I wish I could.
Where is the eight ball? The eight ball always has the answer.
I could. No, I don't. We have to. It's going to require some systematic changes. It's going to require some policy work. It's going to require some advocacy. It's going to require some fighting. It's going to require you know, some serious, you know, change in our
mm-hmm.
public education system. And I am prayerful that
mm-hmm.
you know, I would at least be able to experience and participate in seeing some of that change start to happen. I don't know in what capacity. You know, I am really into policy, but I'm hoping that I be able to see some of that change take place over the next.
So you're going to law school? Is that what I heard you say?
Over the next some odd years,
else hear her say she's going to law school?
Over the next some odd years, I'd really appreciate. I don't know. I'm hopeful that, you know, we can, and hopeful. I'm hopeful that. I mean, I think we all just have to play our part.
So what, friend? So, if we had to say school mm-hmm. choice is good or bad, can we say that yet? Do we have that yet? After the 25 years or so that school choice has been possibly a thing, do we have a clear indication of whether or not it has been good or bad for black students?
I mean, yes and no.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yes,
because
it's just not that black and white.
Okay,
like not even close to it. I mean, because you have schools like KIPP, right? That can flaunt a 100% college application, rate. And like, that's awesome that our kids are going to college, and we see that the trend with them, and not just KIPP, but KIPP-like schools, in Chicago and other places, where they're also choosing to go to HBCUs. And of course, we love that our kids do that. So, but then we also know that some of the most vulnerable students, especially like our students with special needs, are left out in the cold because, public school, traditional public seems to really, and there are some great schools, let's be clear, but mm-hmm. there are also some schools that, in traditional public, just really, in school period, just care about the money. Charter would like to care about the money some more, but they really just aren't equipped because they don't have the certifications, they don't always have the tools, so I don't think we can give a blanket, yes or like it's good or bad for our students. I mean, we see a lot of data that can, support whatever position that you probably are willing to take.
You really do, though. It's ridiculous because even in doing the research to try to come up with a position mm-hmm. on what I really think about school choice, both as like a parent and as an educator, trying to form an opinion based on the research that I did today, I still don't have one.
Yeah, and I'm conflicted.
I worked at a charter school, right? Mm-hmm. And I still don't know that it's necessarily better.
I can say working at a charter school, if I had to just base it off of just working at a charter school as a teacher, I would say I hate school choice. But, I mean, I also am coming at it from a lens, of being a special education teacher, of being a mom of a child with an IEP and an intellectual disability, mm-hmm. So I know that, they're oftentimes left out. So I can't say right now that I can say that they're, they're just good or bad blanketly. Right. If I had to choose, I would say I don't think that school choice is an answer for our kids. I don't think that. I don't think that it helps them more than it hurts them. But, there's also, as we mentioned, so many things at play. So many pieces that fit into the puzzle of school choice.
So I don't know either. And a part of the reason why I don't know is because as an educator working in a charter school with some of the extra engagement of community and family in the charter school versus the public schools that I've worked in, the experience was amazingly different as far as what I got in support from home for my students. Mm-hmm. But I didn't necessarily see a difference in outcome as far as performance mm-hmm. by my students. Mm-hmm. I don't think that my students at my charter school were more intelligent than my students in any of the public school, the traditional public schools that I've taught in. And vice versa. I don't think there were better students in either place. I just think that the students were able to get something different in every place. So no matter where you are, no matter what your options are for school, you really have to look at the data and your student individually.
Right.
And no matter how many students are in your house, you got to look at each student individually.
Facts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
that happened. I think we're done.
So look, wrapping this up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the sources.
So some of the sources that we used, you know, one, we thank you so much for listening and tuning our first episode. We thank you for walking with us on this journey so far, and even the stumbling that we probably had in this first episode. And we just thank you for being patient with us. Some of the sources we used were EdWeek, Center for Education Reform, National Center for Education Statistics, Stanford University Study. And next episode, we will be looking at representation. And what does that look like for our kids? And how important is or isn't, do you think, representation is in your students or your child's rather school? So we'll be looking at, you know, how important the value representation, what does it look like for your kid, and its implications for their learning on every level and their adjustment to school. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And we look forward to speaking with you again and hopefully covering some topics that you would love to hear about, maybe you didn't know about before, you'd love to just talk more about. And we will have opportunities for you all to give us some feedback and to give us some more topics that we may not think to cover.
All right. Black Ed Talk on Facebook, Instagram,
and Twitter. Yep. Black Ed Talk on,
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Black Ed Talk.
See ya.